email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, Elephant in the Room is a charity initiative focused on breaking the stigma around mental health and encouraging more open and honest conversations, particularly amongst men. Well, well-known and friend of the show and friend of everybody, RTE rugby pundit, among many other things, Brent Pope is the main man behind the initiative and he joins me now. How are you, Brent?
Very good, thanks.
Good to see you. Haven't seen you since Celebrity Eurostar.
Celebrity Eurostar, my God. I was so nervous. You did well, but I mean...
I was voted first off.
Oh, yeah, but you did a bit of the me.
Singing Tears of a Clown, if we remember.
Tears of, that's right. I don't know what I sang.
Long time ago.
You know, A Wonderful World or something like that.
Yeah.
But, I got better as it went on, but of course, what people didn't realise that people that had the big voters... You know, if you didn't have a big charity behind you were out. But
if you don't have a parish, you won't win. That's the end of that. So, Brent, we're here to talk specifically about Elephant in the Room, which I know a lot about because we've done a few bits. It's an amazing not-for-profit that you set up. So before we dive into that, take listeners back a little bit to your mental health journey. And how
What I wanted to do something is I wanted to make a difference. I'd spent the last 20 years, I suppose, in a sense, you know, I came out about my mental health difficulties actually with Ryan Tubberty on a radio show about 15 or 16 years ago. And he just got me at a vulnerable time in my life. I'd just been away to New York to try to fix my mental health. And I thought it would be the best place I could go because I like theatre and I like walking Central Park and all those things. So I came back and I was suffering from depression at the time. And I'd had that before. I knew that diagnosis before, but I kept it a secret, a dirty little secret as far as I was concerned. But Ryan just got me on a day where I was particularly vulnerable and my whole life story sort of opened up about dealing with a mental health illness since I was about 14 or 15 years of age. Started with catastrophe anxiety or panic attack anxiety through years of thinking I'd be a failure in anything I did and that kind of wave of negativity all the time. Then, of course, anxiety and depression are ugly little cousins to each other. So then when you got sick of having anxiety all the time, then it rolled over into depression. And then, of course, it rolled over into the dangerous areas of dark thoughts and suicidal thoughts. And so then mid-20s, I had I don't even like using this word, I had effectively what I'd call an emotional breakdown, but people know the term mental breakdown. And that's one of the reasons I came to Ireland. People think it was because I came over for rugby, but I really needed to get away from that environment. But something happened out in New Zealand, Brendan, that set me on a journey to educate people about understanding mental health or mental health issues or mental health illness. And it was a conversation I had when I was at the lowest ebb of my life. I rang the Samaritan suicide helpline because I knew I needed help and I knew I wasn't normal in my way of thinking about what was going on. You see, back in those days, it was all related to your physical well-being. So if I was a big, strong, aggressive rugby player on the outside, then it would go that I wouldn't have any problems with feelings and emotions and that. But that was the problem. So everybody I went to seek help with, I was always told the same things. You know, aren't you a fabulous rugby player, Brent? Man up, toughen up, real men don't cry. All those sort of things just put me back in my box, so to speak, that I couldn't even go to my own father. I remember writing an autobiography in 2013 when I went, the first part of the book was my rugby stories and that and my rugby career, and the second part of the book was my mental health journey.
Wow.
And I remember my father putting his hand on my shoulder before he passed away, actually very emotional for me, and he just said, I wish I'd have known, son. And you know what? I wish I'd have been able to tell him. But I just felt it was weak to speak. I couldn't turn to another aspiring all-black rugby player and say, hey, I remember a problem in my life and it's nothing physical. So I was told the same thing by doctors I went to see that, you know, just go back and go for a walk in the park or go back to the gym, all these things that related to the physical. And I wasn't taught how to look after my mental health. So that started my journey to try to educate people about that it's not weak to speak, that it's maybe your superpower, that if you reach out, find someone, because there's always someone that cares. And so that's what I've been doing really for the last 20 years.
This stark statistic sitting in front of me, 80% of people who die by suicide are men.
Yes.
I've never seen that statistic.
No. Of the nearly, depending on what numbers you believe or you don't, you know, of the nearly, say we take 500, which I think would be a reasonable number of people that take their own lives in Ireland next year, 80% will be men. And especially if I work very closely in men's dominated areas like construction, the guards, prison officers, you're 6 or 7 times more likely as a man working those industries to take your own life or self-harm. 6 or 7 times. And what are we doing about it?
Not much. And it's, I mean, I really understand it. Having gone to an all boys school, you know, and having to really rail against it because of my difference and stuff like that. And you could see the crippling aspect of a macho machismic society. Yep. So I kind of hear what you're saying as well. And I feel it might be hopefully largely generational, but I still think it exists, right? It's not necessarily generational.
Of course it exists.
Yeah.
Of course it exists.
Yeah.
But what I say to people say to me all the time, it's a throwaway comment that I hear all the time because I'm speaking to anybody that will listen, corporations, multi-corporations, government, anybody like that that listens to my story and trying to educate people about looking after their mental health or making it a priority in their lives as much as they make it a physical priority. But, I mean, it's very much still in case with, oh, well, I'll get these. But aren't you, young people are more open talking about things nowadays, Brent. My answer to that is, yes, they are, but the questions what we should be asking is who are they talking to and what are they talking about? Because we've got a new, what is the generation now? Generation Z or?
I think we're back around to A, are we?
I don't know what it is. Yeah. But anyway, they're facing problems with the internet, social media, expectation, validation, porn addiction, phone addiction. All these problems are new generational. So what's the next generation going to face? Because back in my day, we didn't have to deal with social media. We didn't have to deal with being exposed on social media, being embarrassed on social media, all these, having 5,000 Facebook friends but no real friends.
Yeah.
These are all generational problems, and that's what I'm suggesting, that, you know, we get to early intervention is key, because for men in particular and young men, they don't look for help until crisis stage.
Yeah.
Well, I go back to the stages for some people, crisis stage is too late, because men, unlike women, here's a stat for you that people don't realise. Women suffer from mental health illness and issues in far greater numbers than men. Depression, postnatal depression, anxiety, body image, in far greater numbers than men. But men take their own lives in far greater numbers than women. Why? Because we don't talk about it. That's the difference. Women have in their DNA a culture, a caring culture, where something happens, they form groups and they form support groups and networks. Men make pretty shitty friends sometimes, because it's not about checking in on someone, it's about checking on someone. No, sorry, the opposite. It's not about checking on. You've got to go a bit deeper. Men have to be prepared to be a bit more vulnerable in their lives about how the way they talk to other men and siblings or children or whatever like that, just being a bit more vulnerable.
And do you think a big part of that is a stigma around it, that it's a weakness?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, okay.
Of course, because it's not in our DNA.
Yeah.
Because we grew up, your next guest is on about the dinosaur, but if you look at the man's role back when we're Neanderthal man or something, they were out slaying the mammoth or something while the woman was back in the cave formulating the family structure, inviting other people. It's a bit like when a male lion comes into a herd, he's immediately challenged by the other macho lion in the herd to try to whoever wins takes over the herd. Men are like that, because men find it very awkward to talk to another man about something that's going on that they're struggling with. And the way that the elephant came about was, if you ever entered a conversation in your own life and somebody said to you, that's the elephant in the room, it really meant to you, don't go there, don't push on with this conversation. If I went to somebody and talked about work or something, they said, he's the elephant in the room or something, Brent. It's something so obvious that we should talk about, but we don't.
Okay.
So I wanted to take that out of people's head and create a sculpture, because the way I see it, Brent, is everybody has an elephant. Everybody has some place, if pushed, that they don't really want to share or that they find difficult or awkward or embarrassing or sad or whatever to talk about. Well, I'm suggesting that, a problem shared is still a problem solved. Yeah. In my world, because if you've just got to find somebody, men get stuck, and it's the old U2 song, and Adam Clayton's one of our ambassadors, but I spoke to him about this song, Stuck in a Moment, Can't Get Out of It.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Because that's how men feel.
That's
they
great.
They get stuck in a moment, whether that moment is 5 minutes, 5 weeks, 5 years.
So tell me about Elephant in the Room campaign itself. So, explain what that is.
I never thought it would grow as big. I just, myself and Owen Byrne, used to work with, we just come up with an idea. I wanted to link something that was creative and something that took something out of people's head. And I came up with this idea, we came up with this idea that, the elephant in the room could be linked to exactly what I was talking about, that everybody has an elephant to talk about things. So We bring these 5 foot high sculptures in.
I've seen them. They're beautiful.
Yeah, they're beautiful. And not only beautiful works of art. So we went to for the first couple of years, we went to all the corporates. We've got, I think, over 100 elephants out there now and sitting in reception areas, sitting in boardrooms and that, just so that it represents, an elephant represents to me, the start of something. And it takes me back to that conversation I had with the Samaritans, that the answer to that conversation, when I rang that guy on that night, thinking about, you know, what my life was going to look like or not look like, when I rang that number, I was answered with a line of a sentence that changed my life, and it was just, "You'll be okay, friend. It'll be okay, friend." Gave me hope that things would be okay, that I could be normal again, that I could recover from what I was ever going through, and also permission.
There's a moment where half the battle, and having my own struggles with anxiety and depression, when you realise you're not on your own.
Not on your own.
That's such a gift, isn't it?
That is the gift. And just calling me a friend at that, it nearly brings me to tears now, that word friend. You know, it will be okay, friend.
And I think your elephants, the actual physical embodiment of the element, which is these beautiful sculptures of elephants, and they're painted all different colours, that's a reminder that you're not on your own.
Exactly, a reminder not on your own. So somebody that comes into a school, into a business, that is feeling a bit alone on a particular day, feeling a bit low on a particular day, they see the elephant there, they go and read the plinth, which is just something simple like, while you're working in RT, for instance, or something like that, you're in a safe place where someone will listen. Because you just have to find that one person that cares, and everybody does. So, you know, when somebody is more vulnerable, they will welcome back the support and the love and the care from somebody. They won't welcome back judgment. Judgment is gone if people are just brave enough. And I say it to men all the time, just try it. Yeah. Try being a bit more vulnerable with your feelings to your partner, to your work colleagues, to your children, because it welcomes back them being prepared to be a bit more vulnerable back to you. So that was the start. So we set about moving that. Now my latest venture is, with the help of Core Market sponsorship, have been with me from the start of this idea, that we get them into the university. So we've got five donated into universities, into UCD, DCU, Galway, Limerick Technical College, and I think we've also got one in Maynooth and that from before. But just so that students, when they're facing maybe coming from a small country town into a big university, into a big city, when they're going through problems about feeling a bit different, about being ostracised, about phone addiction, that they can see an elephant on campus and they can just say, hey,
I'm not on my own.
This gives them permission to reach out. And in the next couple of months, we're going to announce a collaboration with Kind Foundation, which are a charity, an elephant for Sarah, which has a lovely story from a young girl. We went out and raised nearly 80 grand on GoFundMe for an elephant to go out to the schools, elephant for Sarah, and also the Core Market. Again, we're going to start donating elephants into schools.
Amazing.
You know, for nothing. So a school, just they have a roadmap. They've got to commit to a few things during the year to enable them to get an elephant. And we've been inundated at this stage. We've already got the first 40 or 50 elephants going out, just because the feedback I'm getting, Brendan, from the schools in particular,
yeah,
is they love their elephants. They love them. And it really resonates with, but we all know about, you know, journaling or something, taking stuff, negative thoughts out of your head and putting them on paper. This is just another way of doing it. So they paint them. We deliver a kind of a blank one to them, this wonderful sculpture. They go out and, as part of their mental health journey, they design it for their school's logo, what things mean to me. We've got kids up there in social economic areas that are struggling, coming up and writing what their problems are and sticking them on the side of the elephant, or writing them on the elephant. And teachers are coming back to me every day and saying, my God, what an elephant is making a difference at our school.
What would you
so
say?
It's working.
Before we wrap up as well, if anybody's affected by any of the issues we were raised by Brenton here today, you visit rte.ie/helplines. Just want to get that in there. Words for anyone out there, Brent, right now, feeling low or not in a good place.
Just what you said. That there's always someone that cares and you're not alone. I spent so many years, Brendan, feeling so much alone. It upsets me now. Just, you know, nobody to talk to, nobody to go to, no one would understand. Yes, there are people that would understand. And be a listener. Don't be a fixer. If somebody comes to you with a problem, just say, hey, I'm there for you. I care for you. I love you. I'm there for you 24/7. Don't be someone that tries to tell someone what to do around their mental health. So many people are involved in this, trying to be a fixer. Oh, well, this works for me. You know, go back to the gym or something. Do you think I haven't heard that 100 times? Mm. What I want people to know that is, we all have the ability to save a life on any given day. That handshake, that smile, that compliment at work, they save people's lives because you don't know what somebody's going through at any stage in their life.
I have a lovely text here. Had the pleasure of listening to Brent at a recent conference in Sligo, a gentleman with fantastic insights because of the path he has walked. Being willing to share vulnerabilities is so brave. Thank you. So another one, Brendan, is a wonderful ambassador for mental health. A completely honest approach
thank
to
you.
It, rather than the sound bites. I'm getting loads of love in here. Brent Pope and Elephant in the Room, best of luck with everything
thank
else.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Let's take a break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.